for lieutenant colonels, depending where you're at, if you're new or you're kind of long in the tooth and getting ready for your PZ look for colonel, lieutenant colonel rank is really transitional when it comes to the chaplain's branch. No longer considered a senior officer by the Army, that's for colonels and general officers. What it is, though, it's a grade by which you get evaluated really as to whether or not you have the potential to be a senior officer. Now, big change there. As you think about going from brigade activities where you're supervising at a smaller level, at lieutenant colonel, you've got to go beyond the supervision, and you're really managing with a link up in terms of your organization. And what I mean by that is, for instance, say the division chaplain position. You have responsibility there for managing, supervising, and where it comes in lieutenant colonel is the element of training. Then you're looking at training systems of you in terms of empowering, training your brigade chaplains so they can train the battalion chaplains. It's not so much you doing things. It's the question is, and looking at it by a promotion board, is do you have the ability to leverage systems and to manage systems as a lieutenant colonel? As a major, you're managing people. That's kind of a direct thing. As a lieutenant colonel, you're managing systems. So even when it comes to working at the chief's office, then at this level, again, you're working with systems. You interact with people, but it's a system type of perspective. So that leads into the other element that's needed to be demonstrated as a lieutenant colonel, is do you have a strategic vision? Now, when you say that, it's more than looking at a mission statement. It's the ability to connect higher organizations' intent with what you are doing as a manager, supervisor, trainer, etc. That's difficult to do because what you have to see then is how your place fits in with the overall structure. That's, as mentioned before, the idea of ripple effect. And that means, can you envision what an action or lack of action on your part, how does that affect the systems that you're connected to? That's difficult for some because, again, they're used to the direct user type as you go from battalion to brigade. As a lieutenant colonel, then, it's more envisioning where does this lead us and how can we get to accomplish a goal? Ripple effect covers everything, communication, the way that you approach training, a number of things. So that's really, I think, when you look at, as I said, lieutenant colonels and the development and a couple jobs that you have as lieutenant colonel, you really only have 4 years, at the most 5 years, before you get looked at for colonel. The idea is, again, do you demonstrate the trait, the skill sets necessary to be a strategic leader and lead systems, not interact with systems, but be in charge of systems then as a colonel in the Army? Let me lead off with the first question submitted. And it says, discuss implications of Raiders, senior Raiders, rank influence on future promotion boards in a drawdown period. It goes on to say that we see more lieutenant colonels rated by a colonel level Raider, senior Raider as Army downsizes. How does this really impact promotion potential? All right, great question, because we do see an increase in colonel senior Raiders for lieutenant colonels. There's no doubt that impacts. How much of an impact that is remains to be seen because it's a new development. I can say in the past that a rule of thumb was the higher the grade of your senior Raider, the better it would be in regard to your OER before the board. Now, obviously, if you have a three-star senior Raider who says that you barely have the ability to walk and chew gum, that's not going to help you, even though that's a three-star. But I will say, if you have a three-star senior Raider who says you're the best thing since sliced bread, and you have a colonel who says you're the best thing since sliced bread, that promotion boards are impacted by experience of the senior Raider, and a three-star general has a lot more experience than a colonel. So we can say to date, a rule of thumb has been that the higher the rank of your senior Raider who says good things, the better that it enhances your file. However, if we move to the point where we have many colonels, for instance, at some of the three-star commands, you have a colonel who's a chief of staff. In the past, say, for instance, if you FORSCOM, which I'm not referring to the rating structure for FORSCOM, but we'll just use that as an example. Say that for the FORSCOM organization, there was a colonel chief of staff who was senior raider then for, say, the assignments officer at Force Comp. Well, okay, again, the rank of the senior raider is only a colonel. However, the size of the organization is huge. And so I think promotion boards will probably balance the degree of your responsibilities at what position you are within an organization, and also against the fact that we have a decrease in senior raider rank as our organization has changed with the Army going through transition. That's my take. Back to the field.
Chaplain Walker, Chaplain David Wake at Fort Leavenworth. One question about this change in the Army is certainly the downsizing of organizations and stabilization. Many times a lieutenant colonel is in position for maybe 2 years in one position. Do we expect that to continue and continuing to move in two-year windows, or will they try to stabilize us a little more of the PCSing? Over.
Well, I can say that the assignment that moving you in regard to assignment really comes down to skill set and need. So there isn't a, when we go to the assignments meeting, there's not something that says lieutenant colonel's been there 2 years, they need to move. What typically happens though is two things. One is that there's a need for that person's skill set in a different position. And so 2 years is kind of seen as a minimum in many ways in order to utilize them elsewhere. Second thing is, again, as a lieutenant colonel, you only get really two jobs. So, say you have 4 years. You spend 3 years in one position, and then you have 1 year in another position, and you go before your colonel board. Depends on what position you're in first. So, I can say, as we go back to the senior raider type of discussion before, say that you're a deputy garrison chaplain, and your senior raider is a colonel. Well, in terms of career-wise, I mean, you have great ministry, and that's tremendous, but in regard to senior raider impact, you might consider transitioning to a different job after a couple of years where your senior raider would be of greater rank in a different organizational position. And even if it was another colonel, you probably would want to do something that's different from what you're currently doing. For the colonel look, again, it's, as we talked about, the skill set they're looking for, they're also looking at, in terms of the variety, you need to have a couple different things as jobs in order to demonstrate to the board that your skill set is not a fluke at one place, but you've demonstrated that under in a couple different organizations. Again, there's no rule to move, and if somebody says, as Lieutenant Colonel, I really want to stay here, this is great ministry, that's fine in terms of the assignments. If there's no need to move you, then we won't move you. But generally, we try to move people if we think, A, again, a skill set's needed elsewhere, and B, do we think it might be beneficial to your career? Over.
Sir, Chaplain Hollowell, Fort Jackson. Question back to the rating scheme. So I hear you saying if I have a 3-star in my rating scheme and I have an 06 in my rating scheme, I'm being at the board. So are you telling me that the if I get a center mass from the 3-star and a top block, from the 06, the 3-star is going to outweigh that? I know it outweighs it as far as rank structure, but are you telling me the people at the board are going to look at that rank structure versus the top block and the verbiage?
Well, I don't think it's just a matter, again, of straight rank. It all depends, and this is where it gets very subjective, and so that's why each board is different. A promotion board may highlight certain things, the next board go the completely the other way. I got to say from experience and looking at board results and files, it matters what people say about you, and then it matters in terms of what position you're in responsibility, and then it matters in terms of how they grade you. So for instance, I've seen files where they may have a senior raider who's a lieutenant general, and they get passed over because they say the language by the lieutenant general is nice language, but it's not things that really stand out to a promotion board. I've also seen then someone who has a colonel, depending upon the level of organization, who says very great things, does the best they can with a limited profile, and that also impacts the board. So really what it comes down to, again, is people highlighting in your file the skill set that a board would read to say, yes, this is a colonel in making right here. you can't draw a hard and fast line. Because again, you could say as a rule of thumb, senior raider rank matters. On the other hand, there's caveats to that that are always there. It matters what type of job you have. Does it matter all the time? No, there's also exceptions for that. Does it matter what they say about you? Yes, it matters what they say about you, but then I've seen some poorly written ones by a senior officer that are enough to promote someone. So again, these are all rule of thumb looks at it, and it's, and I'm not trying to encourage either kind of gamesmanship in regard to career. As I've said many places where I've been, what comes first is your calling. And the kind of work that you feel that you have been called to do within military ministry. And if it's at garrison or staff or whatever it may be, you do it to the very best you can and not what it takes to get you promoted. There are those who attempt to work the system, and it becomes very apparent here in personnel if somebody's attempting to work the system in order to get a favorable OER or to get a certain type of senior rater. That's, from my perspective, I usually don't look on that very favorably because they're not operating from, I think, from the right perspective. You do the best you can, you go in the direction you feel that you're called to minister in, and you have to kind of leave it to the end of the day to see what happens in regard to promotion. I know career is there, and obviously as a colonel, it's easy for me to talk about it. However, as a lieutenant colonel, I try to think the same way, do the best I could, and then whatever happens, then I just have to mark that down to, I can say, my own theological perspective, God's will, and then I go on from there. Over.
Sir, Chaplain Juan Crockett, Aberdeen Proving Grounds, Maryland. Sir, I heard a conversation earlier about assignment and preference assignments or nominative assignments. How are they considered, both the nominative assignments and the schooling? I think we've got a lot of lieutenant colonels out there that have great records, that are very competitive, that their records go before the boards, but they're missing perhaps numerous nominative assignments or assignments in the district area, and they don't get selected for career-enhancing jobs that increase their responsibility in military ministry. Can you comment on that?
A great question, and certainly Chaplain Rowan can input in here when I'm done if she'd like to add something. I can say it from my perspective. Chaplain Rowan, again, works lieutenant colonel and below assignments, so she certainly has significant input into this. From my perspective, I can say a nominative assignment is, in reality, a subjective decision by personnel, which would be by the personnel director myself. And those are the positions that I think that have impact for the branch that the chief of chaplain needs to be aware of, because you might say the ripple effect of that position extends beyond our branch and to the Army. So for instance, you take a division chaplain position, that's an easy one to say as a nominative, because it is. We nominate the person to the division commander, he or she says yes, and then that person, they say no, they don't go, if they say yes, they go. That is really what a nominative assignment is in the Army. That's the definition. You get nominated for a job. However, the chaplain's branch takes nominative and expands it to a position, for instance, like the Protestant pastor at Leavenworth. Well, that is not a nominated position that we nominate to anyone. It's nominated in the sense that personnel says to the chief, sir, we recommend this person for this job. Chief's a branch proponent. He says yes or no. So that's an internal nomination within our branch, not external to someone outside of us. These assignments, for instance, at the major level would be deputy division. Why? Because it has a critical impact on division operations. Also, people who tend to do well in brigades and in deputy division are usually considered within that group for division chaplain. Now, division chaplain, that's all the lieutenant colonel files get looked at for that, and there's either a ranking by all the colonels who vote or by a board. However, those really looked at seriously, I shouldn't say seriously, those who come out in terms of evaluation are those who've had certain types of positions in their experience. If they've, again, had a good brigade time, if they demonstrated their knowledge of division activities already by deputy, or they served, for instance, at Corps as a major at the ops position. Those are all great preparation for division chaplain assignment. As others, again, for Lieutenant Colonel, from my approach to it, we look at everything usually from 3-star command and 4-star command. Those are positions that we reserve for the chief of chaplains to say yes or no. There are those, for instance, that certainly have impact apart from that, and I don't have a complete list of them. But by and large, you can say, again, as a rule of thumb, and as you know from my comments so far, I'm a rule of thumb principal guy. The higher the level of the organization, the more impact that it has, the position, those require chief of chaplain attention that we brief, he says yes or no, for each assignment cycle, for winter and summer. Nominative assignments that are indeed nominative outside the branch are automatically on the list. Now, I can say then that consideration, how is it that someone gets considered, for instance, for a position at Forcecom? All right, say the Forcecom operations position is going to be open in the summer. Well, actually, it's before that. What is it that, to fill that position, what is it we're looking for in personnel? Well, first of all, we need someone who's comfortable with operations. There's great chaplains out there who have great skill sets, great admin skill sets, but they may not have been involved in the operational arena that make them comfortable without a steep learning curve and going to Forcecom. I can't, even though a person, for instance, may be a great communicator and a preacher, that's not the skill set that the job needs. The job has to have someone who's been comfortable, and it may go back to brigade time, that they function in a brigade that had a certain op tempo, that they might have an initial assignment or raise a lieutenant colonel in operations. Those are the ones we look at in order to have the skill set to fill the job. There's great people out there, and it's just sometimes the timing. They may have the skill set, but the timing's not there in regard for them to go to certain type of positions. Or needs of the Army, they may have a skill set that requires them to be in a certain type of position when they would really like to serve elsewhere. Again, a lot of it is subjective. We try to do the best we can for each person, but most of all, we have to match the position and the skill set of the chaplain to make sure that we do the best we can for each assignment. Over.
Can you follow up, sir, with the schooling selection? One of my primary questions would be, are they ever going to be schooling available to those that may not be selected to attend Senior Service College in residence or schooling in residence? What about correspondence? Do we also need to be nominated or selected, I should say, by the board to attend these schools?
All right, before I answer that, let me give Chap Morrowan so she can talk about Lieutenant Colonel assignments.
All of our assignments that we make for the lieutenant colonels, we look at them as having everybody needs a job, so we try to make sure that we don't set anybody up for failure. And so I concur completely with Chaplain Walker, and we will be looking at you in our consultation meeting next week. And as long as you fill out your CHAPS form so that we'll have something to go by, and Chaplain Butterworth will definitely be working as your advocate. So we will definitely be taking a look at where is going to be the best fit for you.
I'm also interested in just the systems piece of it. I know that there's no direct algorithm for it, but if we can have sort of like a systems piece in place, mentoring or the coaching piece or the... Here's a sort of like a pathway to getting a division or getting a nominative assignment. That's what I'm sort of looking for. Right now, it's all for us, what assignments you get, plus whatever skill set that you may know that God has gifted you in. Sure.
With Lieutenant Colonel assignments, there is no algorithm. There is no path to success. What you have is a demonstrated skill set. So in looking at an assignment, we look at OERs, and we look at how that they're evaluated. An officer is by the rater and senior rater. What skill sets do they identify? Then, and also the record, if someone has a center mass record, for instance, I cannot recommend to the chief nomination of them to be a division chaplain, because the division commander would look at it and go, everybody else on my staff that gets nominated to me has a different profile than that. So there are just some positions that are impacted by file. There's just no doubt about it in terms of whether you have an above center mass file, heartbeat file. Those impact some types of assignments because there's a person on the other end who is the one who approves. All colonel assignments, for instance, are nominative. Chief of chaplains sends a nomination out to everybody, whether it's a garrison chaplain or force comp chaplain. And that means that they're going to look at that, they're orbed, and they're going to look at the experience, and they're going to have some questions. If I try to nominate someone to the chief for him to give on to a 3 or 4 star, if they don't have a skill set that matches the job, then it's not going to go well. So some things are defined by your experience and by your report cards. There's no doubt about it. Then go on to say, in regard to lieutenant colonel assignments, and looking at your skill set, seen in OERs, the other one is reputation. What is it that is known about you? What have you demonstrated? If you, for instance, from my perspective as personnel director, if a person has demonstrated an inability to mentor and develop others, then it does not serve the purpose of the branch to place you in a position where you're supervising large number of chaplains. That isn't going to happen. So you're going to be in a position then where your skill set can be best utilized in ministry and for the branch. That's how it works. As the saying is, there's an assignment for everybody in the branch, and there is. And it's an assignment that reflects skill set, experience, reputation, all of that. Now I want to say, again, just because they're also in a position that may not be seen as the rock star type of positions, lieutenant colonel, doesn't mean that, A, the branch is mad at you, doesn't mean that you don't have a great skill set. It just means that the time the assignment was made, that's how it lined up. And it could line up for another reason. It could have been because of time and chance. It could have been because you were the only lieutenant colonel who's able to go to this place. I have found at each assignments conference that despite the fact we have 214 lieutenant colonels, that sometimes we're down to not finding one person to fill a job because X number of them cannot move because of time on station, or they cannot move because of the job they're in. It's just surprising. And so, just to say again, that's just a rule of thumb. Those are principles. There is no path. There is nothing listed as follow these three things and you're going to be a colonel. It just isn't there. In regard to Senior Service College, we have the board. Currently, we select 5, which are deemed resident. Of that, we have 2 at the Army War College, 1 at the National War College, 1 fellowship at the Institute of Peace, and 1 fellowship at the Institute of Politics. Those are DA select. That means if you come out on that list, you will go to a program. Now, they don't select where you go. All that the Army says is these are the resident 5, and the chief determines where those people go in regard to fulfilling their SSC. In addition to that, we get a list of 20 names that are alternates, and off that alternate list, we do distance education. I make recommendations to the chief on distance education, and chief is the one who ultimately says yes, no, or we want this person or not that person. Normally, and I can say in doing it, normally it reflects the order of the OML. Now, the difficulty is that they've moved from going in OML to doing alphabetical. So it's really impossible to tell who's number one in OML. So then it comes down to in regard to an examination of skill set, of potential, of the type of job that the branch may need them to go into as to whether or not distance education. Some of it is that we have to put a person in a job, and it requires, especially for a colonel, that if a colonel, say, was coming up to be a director here on the chief staff, that has to be a MEL 1 education level. So if that person who's coming here is not MEL 1, they will be enrolled in distance education. Now, when you get looked at, you get looked at by the board, and then after a while, your name no longer appears on the alternate list. So there's a certain point in time where you quit getting looked at. And if you're not in the top 20, your name doesn't show up on the list. So you can say that list is a top 20, but it doesn't differentiate between the 1 through 20 on the list. So it's a very difficult thing. Sometimes a person, we offer distance education to people, and they say no, because it's tough. And they're in jobs that does not allow them to do that. Others really would like to do distance education, and they were not offered it. So all I can say is that great thought goes into it, and if it's something you really want, certainly communicate that to Chaplain Rowan or myself. But the problem is, if someone's been looked at for a few times, again, your name is no longer on the alternate list, and it becomes much more problematic with HRC in terms of saying, we want this person to do distance education if they're not on the current alternate list. Over.
Sir, Chaplain Dave Schaffner out of Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Can you talk a little bit about the IMTO changes at the Corps and division level and what's going to happen with the positions? Are we going to lose them? Are we going to keep them? That kind of stuff. Over.
Sure. First, let me say that there's a question, too, I have here about Lieutenant Colonel reductions across the board. The Army and the competitive category is certainly going through a downsizing, CERB boards, etc. It's up then to these special branches, DOCS, JAG, and ourselves, as to what we do. We have no plans in regard to that for us, because our numbers, we do not have a drastic reduction in positions that would require CERB board. Any loss that we have between now and 2018-19 and beyond all can be managed by promotion zones, by accessions, and by the more normal resignations and retirements that occur. So the big Army has said, great, you guys got a plan, there's no need for it, and we're blessed off on that. So there will be no lieutenant colonel reductions that we can see in regard for the branch at this point. In regard to reorganization, yes, there has been some, like for instance at the division level, where they will probably lose a major's position. At the Corps positions, they are, that there could be a reduction at that level as well. It's really tough to say, because right now, ForceCom, they have to identify what positions they want to lose, but I don't think that the final calculations have been done in regard to this is indeed the position we're going to lose. Now it has to go through, after you've identified the possible positions, then it comes down to, is there going to be more money in the future? Are they going to lose that number or more or less before you finally get an answer on it? So at this point in time, it does look like there will be a reduction on staff. How much of it, I don't know, until Big Army comes back and says, here's a new MTO that they plan to put out. Did I answer it, Dave?
Yes, sir. I know we're working through that. I'm just, you know, that's an interest not only for us as lieutenant colonels, but as deputies. I mean, our staff currently is 5. They are looking at reducing us to 4. And we can barely do the job with 5. And our role is increasing, and yet we're reducing. It's just, I'm wondering when it's going to get to the point where it's untenable. Over.
Yeah, I don't know. But I can say, for instance, say at ForceCom. ForceCom, you know, they're going to be moving to 1 chaplain personnel manager, where there's 2 currently. Well, that's a significant change. Now, in order to do that, then there has to be a certain amount of empowering of lower organizations and a different way we do business. So that means that you would have less, perhaps, stuff that you do, and there's more stuff that's done by lower organizations that you structure so that the information flows to you in a way that you can handle with reduced manpower. That's the only way I can see it, and I see it on the personnel side. And for PER here, then we have to come up with ways in order to assist organizations, subordinate organizations, with how they do personnel so they can make sure they do the job. Don't know exactly the answer on it, but I will say it's going to involve more of, for instance, at Corps of division or brigade doing things to help structure information that Corps can do the job. Again, I can't give a precise answer, but probably wouldn't do any good anyway, because the Army changing like it is. The precise answer would be wrong tomorrow. Other questions?
Chaplain Walker, this is Chaplain Wake again. To connect the dots, MCOM is reducing a number of the colonel slots or garrison chaplain slots to lieutenant colonel. Would you perceive that more of the garrison lieutenant colonel slots will become nominative because of these changes?
Well, they're all nominative now for colonel. But our losses, they're going to be some, but I think our total number going even to 2018 for colonels, we only get down to 93. Currently, I think we have 98. Yeah. I'm looking at Ted Godwin Strimmel over there, my numbers
96.
Man. 96. So 2018.
That's where 96 is where we're going to go.
Yeah, 96 is where we're going to end up in terms of colonels. Really not a big change. It's only a couple from our current level. So just to say for lieutenant colonels, in terms of promotion opportunity, it's going to be about the same. In fact, this next board coming up, it looks like we'll select 18. One after that would be 16 to 18. And that factors in the loss, possible loss of positions by MCOM. Because this happens to be a cycle when we have a lot of MRD colonel departures and some voluntaries. And they just come, and as you track it, there's low and high. And this is the last year. This year's a time when you have a lot leaving. That's creating opportunity for lieutenant colonels. So this last board, we had 14 selected. This board coming up will be 18. So for all those in the primary zone, it's a good time because the branch is going to select a lot of people. Over.
Hey, sir, it's Chip Fields, Redstone Arsenal. The question about what you just said, that's not how I understand it, so I guess I need education. If you're in the competitive category, yeah, it's a good thing, but we're on a list? I forgot what it's called. Anyway, active duty list, I think. And if you need more colonels, you just expand the zone, and it's the same promotion rate. Am I wrong or right?
Well, in that aspect, yeah. I mean, we have a DOTMA rate of 50% is what our goal is, and all that means is that in order to do 50%, that we expand or contract the zone. Saying for 18, what we had looked at going from 18 to 20, so if we added two more chaplains, that's only four names additional in the zone. And again, it's 50%. And we haven't had to do that, and so we're back to the 18 again. So I'm just saying for us, if you typically were at 14 or 16 usually, going to 18 just means that you have same DOTMA percentage rate of 50%. It's just more people are getting looked at. Now, what I've found is that when you are selecting a larger number of people, that the board is competitive, but not as competitive as it would be as, say, you're only selecting 10 people. So then it becomes very focused. So that if you do the order of merit list for promotion, you have a cut line. Well, the person who's at the top of that order, who has the best file in the of that group being looked at, that's always going to stay the same. You're going to have some water walkers, there it is. Where the cut line then grows in terms of the number, well, that makes a big difference. If I draw the line at 18 as opposed to 10, then you're going to have competitive files, but then again, it's just not as difficult in terms of promotion selection as if you had a limited number. I realize that kind of back and forth, but that's probably as precise as I can do it. Over.
Yeah, please, sir, this is Jeremy Kerr. Can you share what's happening on the bag, what you're working on for the AFCB?
Karen, that's a question that comes from an insider, as if you had experience with that here at the chief's office. Yes, currently the PAG really hasn't it hasn't met in X number of months. They're dealing with, in terms of the bigger picture, with some of the things the Army has been grappling with. For more PAG specific would be probably religious preferences, and how is it that we account for those? How is it that new ones are created? There's a list at Department of Defense. Each of the services have a list of religious preferences. It's a very developing area, especially the kind of faiths that are arising in the United States. that really has kind of taken the attention of the PAG probably for the last 6, 7, 8 months. So there's not a lot, and for those, when I say PAG, it's the Personnel Action Group. That's part of the Armed Forces Chaplains Board, for those who may not know. And it's composed of the personnel directors for the Army, Navy, and Air Force. I take part in that as the Army's representative. But again, there's been other stuff going on with government shutdown and so on that hasn't been real active. Over.
In regards to new lieutenant colonels who get assigned perhaps to an MCOM job, and they have a new colonel commander on their garrison, so he doesn't have a profile. He comes with zero. And so in the first and maybe even the second OER that lieutenant colonel chaplain gets, it's not even possible for him to get a top block. And so my question to the PER is, does the board see that? Can they see on an OER that it wasn't even possible for this commander to give anybody a top block? So it's not that he didn't get one, it's that he couldn't give it to anybody. So just a question of how does the board see that, or do they?
All right, and I'd be remiss if before I answered that, I didn't say iron soldiers out there to Chap Meeker in 1st Armor Division as the former deputy division chaplain there, that if I didn't say iron soldiers, General Tucker would probably hunt me down. So I've said that. And then I probably should say Rockasans and Marn and everything else has been a part of. All right, in regard to the question, yes, in the instructions to the promotion board, usually, they have official instructions that are given by the secretariat. The president of the board, which is usually the chief or the deputy, then also talks about branch-specific perspectives to the board. So, for instance, they would talk about it might be medical service, what that means in terms of CPE. They would talk probably about some of our chaplains are in places of limited profile, especially MCOM and Garrison. There's numbers that of the total force in MCOM for uniform people, I think the chaplains and chaplain assistants make up 40% or something of that number. That's, again, you have a huge impact when it comes to senior rater profiles when you have such a limited number of uniformed soldiers there. So I think that's part of the discussion, so they know that as they look at the profile, if it's one of one, or if it's one of two, and they know that the senior rater just cannot give it, then the board understands that. And what they would look at then is the comments involved and the type of responsibilities. Now again, that's understood. However, what hurts is when you get someone who he or she as a senior rater has a choice. Say for instance you get up to 12, say in their senior rater profile that they currently do 12, and they have room in that to give an above center mass and they don't do it. Well, you may have a somewhat limited profile, and when they choose not to do that, and they do, then that would impact in regard to the board. Obviously, the larger the rating pool, the more impact it has on the board. Take, for instance, majors at division staff. The chief of staff for major population may have 70 majors that the chief of staff senior rates. Well, then that has a big impact on the lieutenant colonel board. Because if you get an above center mass from a chief of staff who says, of the majors I senior rate, you're in the top 10 or whatever, that's a large pool, that's an experienced officer that impacts. So again, it's a somewhat subjective answer again, but to say on the board that the board does understand it, they see more of it, how it impacts exactly remains to be seen. Because again, you can draw no definite answers because board to board it varies. Let me say this, as we have a public service announcement, when it comes to lieutenant colonel assignments, the earlier that you come online, the better it is. And you should be talking to your chaplain personnel manager or Chaplain Rowan if you want to go direct in that. I don't mean to cut anybody out because your chaplain personnel manager is going to represent you at the assignment meeting. However, you can also get feedback by talking to Chaplain Rowan in terms of the overall picture of what may or may not be possible. that she can see from her perspective, at least a year out. So, for instance, if you want to get back into operations and you haven't done it for a while, you need to talk about that. And it may be going to an assignment, you would say, my next assignment, I really would like to be in this area. The other thing is, the more specific you are, the harder it is in terms of getting you something that you may enjoy doing. Because if you're saying, I want a location, it might be Fort Huachuca, and there's only two lieutenant colonel positions in Fort Huachuca, and neither one of them you can fill, well, then that means you're not going to get Fort Huachuca. So my suggestion is, as you look at coming online as lieutenant colonel or during your time, what is it I want to do while I'm in this grade? What is it that I think my skill set is? Talk about it so that you can then be put into the pool of people considered for an assignment. And it may be that some things you just can't do, and then that's unfortunate, and that's up to Chaplain Rowan, where she can say, I don't know if we're able to work that out, and that calls for flexibility on your part. And again, as you go back and you think about it and pray and talk to your family about what's best, keep in mind, talk early instead of late, and that's the best we can do to help manage assignments.
Sir Chaplain Hollowell, again, Fort Jackson. The last couple of 064s, it seemed like the number of above zone have been picked up a little bit more. Is there a reason why? Is that, can you touch that a little bit?
Certainly. And, you know, we'll just do a little interaction here at the field. From the field, why do you think that we have so many above zone selections for lieutenant colonel and colonel? Over.
Sir, this is Bob Phillips at Fort Bragg. I think part of the problem is commanders don't understand just how competitive it is for promotion in the chaplain corps. I think a lot of them assume that if their chaplains do a good job and they get a decent OER, they'll get promoted. So they don't fire the silver bullet for them going into their board. And then what happens is when that chaplain gets passed over on their second look, that the commander realizes the competitiveness and fires that silver bullet for them. Over.
Great comment. Certainly getting silver bullets, as you put it, after the primary zone look, it impacts it. What else we got out there?
This is Chaplain Dave Wake. I wonder whether there's a flat tire, so to speak, about for the colonel's board. It was about 4 years ago we had a large selection above zone. That means there's some in the primary that would have been selected that did not. And after a while, it just kind of continues that way until it rights the ship. If I remember correctly, last year there's only one or two above the zone, so it seems to be getting lower above the zone selection for colonel.
All right. Thanks, Chaplain Wake. Anyone else want to go on record? Go ahead.
Sir, Chaplain Ferris, Fort Riley. Just conjecture here. Maybe it's like the real estate market. Sometimes you're fat, sometimes you're lean. Maybe there's a bit of remorse. And so they pick up more than they did the previous year.
Yes.
Or picking up more in the previous year, so they add more the following year.
All right, thanks. After I answer his question, I got Chief of Chaplains here that would like to...
Well, okay. What are you throwing me under the bus? We're dealing here, Brian. What is this?
The Chief of Chaplains is here, and he's going to put out a list of all lieutenant colonels who are naughty and nice. So please, I'm sorry, he's not going to do that.
That's right. I've got them all.
Hey, sir, this is Chaplain Hollowell at Fort Jackson. If I knew the Chief was there, I wouldn't have asked the question.
I didn't hear the question. I just walked in. What was the question?
Sir, the question was, why do we have so many above zone selections for colonel and lieutenant colonel, which the chief coming in is the best person to answer that, right? Sir.
Yeah, I sit every other board. What happens when I know when I look at the files, I don't look at the data rack, I never do. I look at to see, I want to make, first of all, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, first of all, make sure that they've looked through their file. If they've looked through their, my board file, they've done that, that means something. That means that they care. Okay, I look at their picture. If somebody's in greens, that kind of tells me something. That kind of tells me that they really don't care, okay, to go get a new picture taken. Okay, I look at their OERs. Okay, I look at the last three OERs, and look at that, and I say, you know, what have they done lately? You know, what is important? What have they done? How are they looking at? We're going to be colonels. Look at somebody who has to be a strategic thinker. Okay, who's looking forward? What have they done? I don't care if you've been deployed, if you've not been deployed. I don't care what you do. That makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. Jobs doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is how you've done the job that you've been put in. I think the hardest job we have right now, and I'll come right out and tell you, is not the division. That's a tough job. That's not the hardest job in the world. The hardest job you're going to have, I think, is working as a deputy garrison. That is one tough job to have, I'm telling you. It really is. I never worked so hard in my life than when I was a garrison chaplain, because I always tell you, you have all the onus without the bonus. You've got everything to pull off. You got nothing to pull it off with. So I look at those things. I look and see, you know, intermediate raider. What is the intermediate raider said about you if you had one in there? What is he or she said about you? I look for professionals, professional input. But what does the chaplain think about what you're doing? How does the supervisor look at you? How does the commander look at you? I look at those various things that are in there to try to make a decision who's going to be chosen. So whether you're above zone, doesn't make any difference. You're all one big happy family when you get in there. Below zones, normally we can pick one for lieutenant colonel and one for colonel. And we haven't picked one for colonel lately, but we picked a couple lieutenant colonel. 2 years ago we picked lieutenant colonel, I know that. I think they're only last year. But we really rarely pick a below zone colonel. I think the last one picked below zone colonel was Matthew Goff. That was the last one. And that was probably 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes, sir. He was picked on a board. They had no above zone selections at
board. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's out of the ordinary. But we look to see what you've done in your... I look for your last three jobs. Now, everybody's got a different way of looking at it. I don't know what Jeff and Bailey does. I don't know what the other chaplains on the board look at. But I know I look at the last three OERs. Those are really important. If you're above the zone, well, you're above the zone, then maybe you're going to be better. You're going to look at what you're going to be doing a little bit closer and put a little more attention to detail in your work and make sure your OER is written well. That's what I look for. Okay? Captain Hollow, does that make sense to you?
That's great, sir.
Okay. There you have it.
And, sir, just to add in for myself, in terms of files, you have some who are water walkers, you have some who are waiting, you have some who are swimming, and you have those who are swimming under the water. Now, percentages-wise, those who are swimming under the water and those who are walking on top of the water, those are about the same, say 10%. Everything else kind of falls out into the middle. And the problem with chaplain files is that, by and large, they tend to all look the same. So you picture a long line of people who are all the same height, and you get selected by height. Well, then what an above center mass does is that it puts an insert into your shoe that allows you to stand up a little taller. When you get a center mass, then it's you're standing a little bit into a hole that makes you, in terms of height, a little lower than everybody else. Now, when you have a series of center masses, it's difficult to overcome that immediately because it takes time to build your file as it takes time for your file to go into the hole, so to speak, in terms of that. Well, then what happens usually is that, say you're at level with everybody else, and then you're in above zone, and you're, as we talked about, silver bullets, that you have a series of OERs then by senior raiders who say great things about you that cause your file to be elevated, so you get inserts in your shoes. Well, that happens, you're taller then than somebody in the primary zone. You get selected, the primary zone person does not get selected. So I think one that really impacts the branch is because our files look a lot alike. Any small variation in terms of going up is going to place you in the promoted list. Above zone is where that happens a lot for us, because that's when some of the files tend to get a lot better. Sure,
I agree.
All right, any other questions out there for Chaplain Rutherford or myself? Over.
Don't you have to tell me who you are. If you don't want to tell me who you are, that's okay.
And if you do that, try to use something to distort your voice.
Exactly. I'm pretty good at voices.
Hey sir, this is Chaplain Williams calling from Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Oh, Mecca, the Holy
sure
Land.
If the question was asked before, but I'm wondering about PDYs for denominational conferences. Is there any resolution on that?
Well, I'm going to pass that off to my good friend down here, the money man. Tim, what do you think, everybody?
Well, if you're talking about denominational as in your religious background and your command can pay for that, certainly that's the way to go. That is the normal procedure, so it continues on.
Right. Well, if the command doesn't have the funding, then they can't do it. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I mean, I'll tell you what the Archetype Military Services tells us. You guys make a lot of money. You guys can pay for it. That's what they tell us. No kidding. And yes, any of the priests at Fort Bragg will tell you the same exact thing.
Permissive TDY. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but unless it's TDY. They'll put you on TDY then. Yes. Yeah.
Permissive.
Exactly. Or you look at permissive TDY.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's probably the preferred mode of getting to your denominational conference.
All right, sir. Thank you for your answer.
Okay.
And this is probably not a good time to ask the chief if you come work for him. So you can do that in a private phone call later.
If you want to do that, we'll take you down and see the psych. Do a psych evaluation on you right afterwards. Okay.
Okay, Chapman Rowan, public service announcement.
Yes. Just for everybody's information, for next week, we're going to be heading out on Monday for our per consultation meeting, and we're asking that you keep us all in the prayers. This will be my first orchestrating this wonderful meeting, and so we would like to make sure we abide by putting the right person in the right place, and that we will also be collaborative and cooperate and to be able to find the assignments to come in a smooth transaction, and that we want to be transparent. So a lot of dialogue for my CPMs that we've been really training up real hard for. And again, I want to just say a personal thank you to Randy Brandt for always being there for me.
Hey, you know, just as the close up here, probably the hardest thing that Chapman Bailey and I do are sit these boards. Because we know most of you. Now, that's a really hard thing to do. I try to put that out of my mind. I try to choose exactly the best people. I promise you that if you know anything about a DA Secretariat board, they are running the up and up. Nothing can be said. No personal knowledge is exchanged between the three chaplains that hit the board. Usually it's either myself or the deputy and two other senior chaplains. And then there are three line officers on there with a minority, either a female or an ethnic minority that is in there. So we try to get good diversity on the board that's chosen by the DA Secretariat. Right? They rotate it around, so the only people that get to sit many boards is the deputy and myself. We sit every other one because there's only two of us. So we have to do that. We are well known at Fort Knox. But I promise you that everything is on the up and up. Every board is fair. Nothing is said. We take our time looking at your files as much time as we possibly can, and then we try to move on with them. We try to select the absolute best people, whether they're in the zone, above the zone, or below the zone. The best people are chosen. Below zone selection is very, very rare. I mean that. It really is. And when we do a below zone selection, it is explained to the board by the DA Secretariat that if we choose a below zone, we are bumping someone who is in the zone. Someone in the zone will not make it. And I think they take that into mind when they're doing that, when they're making their decision on that. Okay, as Julie just said a minute ago, everything is transparent. Okay, the deputy and I make sure that you got what you want when you have it. I mean, especially for me, I'm not going any further. This is it. Okay, I'm not looking at promotion. I'm not going to go anyplace else. The place I'm going is home in a little over 2 years. A little less than 2 years, excuse me. We're getting there. And I'm here working for you, okay? As I tell people, there's nothing more dangerous than me. I'm L1 OA Catholic priest with way over 20 years. You can't mess with me. You just can't do it, okay? Because it's my job to make sure you've got what you need when you've got it. And I have no qualms in going down the hall and talking to the secretary and the vice and the chief staff of the Army. They know that. All right, so we have a good relationship with them. The deputy talks to them a whole lot more than I do because he gets around a little bit more than I do. But we have a good relationship, and I have never seen on a board, a harder board to sit than a chaplain board. They are awful. because nobody wants to say anything bad against the chaplain because they think God's going to strike him down. I think that. So those boards are very tough. And the line that is drawn with those who are selected and those who are not selected usually is done by a plus or a minus. That's how it's that is how it is decided. So it's very tight, very competitive. And I'll tell you something, if you made Lieutenant Colonel in this branch, you're something. You have done extremely well. And I want to make sure you all know that. I've never seen a chaplain do something really, and we have some that make mistakes. And, you know, the system takes care of it. But normally we have great people who are there to serve God and serve the country, take care of soldiers and take care of families, and that's what it's all about. Okay, so, as you know, we have an open door policy. You can come and talk to me anytime you want. You can send me an email. If this question I don't know, I'm going to talk to one of the directors. I'll talk to either, you know, Chaplain Walker or Chaplain Stice or Chaplain Melvin to make sure we know what we're doing here, make sure we give you the right answer at the right time. Okay?
All right, let me close up by saying that for Chaplain Rutherford, an important element in his or component of his guidance given to me for personnel is transparency. And so my directorate has worked hard, I think, in the idea of transparency so that anything that you wish to know, if we're able to tell you, that doesn't cross into privileged or confidential information, we'll do that. You want to email Chaplain Rowan, Chaplain Williams, Godwin Strimler, myself, anyone that you need, you have a question you want an answer, please do, email or call. We are focusing on visiting as many of the posts that we can, ones that are not normally found on a typical visit, in order to contact, talk to chaplains, and provide career counseling and personnel brief and answer their questions. So that's why, for instance, we're having our assignment meeting at Fort Bragg. Each place we go, as we connect the assignment meeting with a chance to meet with chaplains at Bragg, do individual consultations with them, do a brief for them, allow them to come to where we're at to see how the promotion, how the assignments meeting set up, answer any questions. We did a assignments meeting at the schoolhouse and able to do that for the C4 class. Same thing. We'll go, we'll try to connect our assignments meeting with installations to do that same thing. Then Chaplain Rowan and I are available anytime to come visit, to do a brief, to sit down and do consultations, individual appointments with chaplains, answer their questions, and give the brief and let them see the big picture. So please, if you're in a position you'd like that to happen, contact Julie and so that we can set it up. That certainly falls in line with the chief would like to do, that personnel would be an open, transparent operation so that there's no smoke-filled room decisions made, that the field is well aware of how things are done. All right, then having said that, we'll conclude the Dial of Purr. My thanks for everybody who took part of it. Blessings to you all, and until we meet again. Bye.